Welcome, everyone. This is time for Living the Good Life in Clearwater, Florida, from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are so glad that you have joined us today. Or perhaps you are listening to this show at a later time on our website. At any rate, we're glad you're with us. And this is going to be a great day. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I will be joined soon by Megan up in Indiana and Carol up in Georgia, part of our radio team, both of them faithful radio team members for a long time. So we're looking forward to a great show today. Hope all is well with you today. This is going to be a time of really talking about the nature of God. We've been in a series that we have been doing at Beacon of Hope for a while and on the air for the last, I guess, several weeks now, a couple months maybe, called Frontline Freedom. It's all about learning how to walk in the freedom of God as we navigate each day on the front line spiritually. And we're going to talk more about what that means. And it's an exciting adventure. And it's wonderful to be in the presence of God on a daily basis and realize that He's got a plan for each of us. And we're headed somewhere in Him. And He knows where that is and where we're going and what He has planned. And it's our part to learn where that is and all the blessings that He has in store for us. I think today's show will help you get a grasp on that whole concept. And we're looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you today. We are located in Clearwater, Florida, and we have been in the ministry now, in this ministry, for 12 plus, almost 13 years here in the Tampa Bay area. Started out in Tampa in 2001, and here we are, 2014. We've come a long way. God has done a lot of things through the years in the ministry. He's blessed us so profoundly, so many ways, and we've gone through hard times, like a lot of ministries do. We've gone through times of where it just seemed like He was pruning us and He was teaching us. And those are good times when God is working and showing us things and teaching us and training us. Those times of pruning, so to speak, are good. And we've been through some of those, and we've been through some absolutely amazing, wonderful times where we've seen the power of God move mightily in our services and on the radio show. All in all, we have been consistent to deliver the Word of God week after week, Sunday morning at 10:30 for our regular worship service, and Wednesday night each week for our Bible study, which starts at 7 o'clock every Wednesday night. So always, we continue on the air all these years. We're in our eighth year here, and every Sunday afternoon for a two-hour show. And we've changed the time of that show a couple times, but now it is 3 to 5 here on Tan Talk. We love our partnership with this radio station and what a joy they are to work with. And we love the ability to give out the Word of God, to teach, to preach, to sing, to put a lot of great music on the air for you. A lot of it more contemporary Christian. Today we've got a real mix. And we're just going to have some great songs, some great music, and some great times. So let's bow our heads in prayer today before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity today to be on the air with these dear ones who are listening or will at some time later listen on our website to this show. Lord, it's always a joy. It's always a blessing to be right here working with You and listening to Your voice as we're on the air, knowing that You're going to guide and direct us to talk about the things that need to be talked about and to get the points across that You want stressed so that people will be able to learn these concepts of walking in freedom in God. And Lord, we just thank You for everything that is said and done today. You get the glory and the praise. Bless every song in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So, Megan, have you joined me?
Hi, Pastor Marcia.
Hi, girl. I haven't talked
Thank
to you,
you
for a while. It's been a while since I've heard your voice. You've been going through
a
lot.
I know, same here.
Yeah, you've been going through an awful lot, haven't you?
So, yes, we have, but you know what? It's all for God's glory.
Amen.
It's all for God's glory.
And we learn. Don't we learn through the hard times, the difficult times?
Absolutely. And if we didn't have the difficult times, how would we ever learn?
Right. Yeah. And I know that you just recently this week lost your dear dog that's been with you 14 years. And Carol, who's coming on in a little while, she and Maxine lost their dog, Floyd Henry, just a few weeks ago, the famous Floyd Henry. And, you know, we feel for both of you, all of you guys that go through that. My dogs are getting older. I know how that feels. And it's difficult, isn't it, Megan?
It is difficult. It's hard. It's hard to watch them age. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you just release them into the arms of Jesus. And we know we'll see them again someday.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, it is. It's wonderful. Today we're going to talk about the nature of God. And, you know, that's a point right there, Megan. He loves us so much that he gives us these wonderful animals that he's created, you know. And here we are. We love them. We take care of them, whether they be cats, they be dogs, they be horses, they be cows, whatever they might be. And we take care of them, and they're a blessing in our lives. And then at some point we release them back to him, you know, their creator, which
that's
is...
right.
Go ahead.
And the cool thing is, you know, they love us unconditionally, just like God does. No
Amen.
Matter what we've done or the day we're having, they're still right there with us. You know, like smile upon the Lord's face. They just love you no matter what.
Boy, isn't that the truth? And he does love us like that, doesn't he? So it's perfect intro to this song by the group Selah. Wonderful, merciful Savior. I love this song.
You are the one that we heart's always
praise God. I love that song. It's just talking about the nature of God, counselor, comforter, keeper, how he sustains us through all the different phases of our lives, Megan. And doesn't he do that?
He does. And just like that song says, it says that he finds us in our weakest moment. And that is so true, because what more of a time would you need someone than
right.
in your weakest moment?
Absolutely.
And that's when you would need to turn to God.
Oh, and, you know, knowing that he is right there no matter what we're going through. We just talked about the loss of animals. But, I mean, there's so many things that happen in our lives that are painful. They're difficult. Or, you know, people leave people, you know, or situations happen at work that are just so discouraging sometimes. And there may be some people out there in our listening audience today that are having a rough day or a rough week. And maybe just all kinds of things are happening. I love the words of that song. He's our wonderful, merciful Savior, always giving us mercy, you know?
He always is. And, you know, if you're just having a down day when you're just down on yourself, you know, it's like what I did on my before I got on the radio. I turned on praise music and I invited the Holy Spirit in, and I just started weeping.
Right.
And it's just multiple cleansings that we go through as Christians. And
right.
You know, when you just sit down and spend some time with him, even if it's just for a few minutes, it can be a refresher.
Oh, absolutely. We're having trouble hearing you, Megan. Can you pull the phone away from you a little bit? Are you on a cell phone?
I am. Why don't you let me hang up, call back, and I'll turn my phone off and on.
All right. That'd be good.
Okay.
So while she's doing that, we're having trouble with the reception. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Want to talk today for a few minutes, and then we're going to talk about the nature of God for those that are on the front line with him. And we all are, if we choose to be, by the way. You don't have to have the call of God on your life to be a pastor, evangelist, missionary, or something like that to be on the front line with God. This is a way of living where you're saying, okay, God, I will accept what you tell me, where you want me to go, what you want me to do, how you want me to handle a situation. We have a story in 1 Samuel chapter 30 where David had been running from King Saul for so many years. In fact, King Saul tried to kill him 21 times. And at some point, David got very discouraged with this process. And so he goes and aligns himself with a Philistine king by the name of Achish, King Achish. And he says, King Achish, I need to have somebody just let us hang out with them for a while because I need your protection. I've been running from King Saul all these years. So to make a long story short, in 1 Samuel chapter 29, we find out that the king says, fine. So all of the king's warlords and soldiers are marching, and they put David and his men, about 600 guys, with the king at the rear of this battle contingent, okay? And they are headed into another battle. And King David has been hanging out with them, really, just to stay away from having to be on the run so much, okay? He had gotten himself kind of down and discouraged, I think, from all of that. So here they are going into another battle, and instead of all of the soldiers saying, oh, we're so glad we've got David and his 600 men with us, instead they kind of lodge a protest to the king. And they say, how do we know that David and his men won't turn on us in battle? And instead of aligning themselves with us, maybe they will turn and join the enemy. And so these soldiers of King Achish were so upset about David and his 600 guys being with them that the king had to say to David, you know what? It's time for you to go home. Go to your home. We can't protect you here. The army can't protect you. You've got to go. Okay. And he said, in fact, at the end of chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, he says, get up early, get an early start so you can see to walk home and get going. Well, as it turns out, David had been given a city And that city was called Ziklag. And David and his men had been gone from that city for a while. And they had been out, you know, doing their thing, you know, out through the countryside. And so they head home. And as it turns out, this was God's divine timing. I think it's interesting, Megan, that what appeared to be a bad thing, David and his soldiers getting kicked out from their protection with King Achish and his battle contingent, what turned out to be was the best thing that these guys did and said, you know what, we don't trust you guys, you got to go. And I think, Megan, the spiritual principle here is found in our own lives, where so often we think bad things shouldn't be happening to good people at all. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, totally do. And
that's much better.
Yeah. Is that better? Good.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's just like with me, I had to let my newborn son go to heaven.
Yes.
And, you know, there was a time when I thought, why did that happen to me?
Right.
And I know why it happened to me, because it brought me out of where I was at and brought me into a new atmosphere.
Right. Yes.
And that's what, you know, and even though it was horrible to go through, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone, that's the most horrible thing, is to experience death. But what we have to realize is that There's always a light on the other side,
yes,
of the tunnel.
Right.
We just have to keep walking. We,
yes,
can't give up. Just like David did, we can't give up. We've got to keep moving forward.
Exactly. And if God shifts you, and this is probably for some people out there today, if God shifts you from where you have been, what normal has been for you, or a place that you have been where maybe a job, maybe God's got a job change in store for you, or something different happening in your life, instead of immediately, and I think, Megan, we tend to immediately think that any kind of change is bad, because,
yes,
we're so used to being, we like things being the same way, you know?
Sure we do.
Yeah.
We do.
Go ahead.
We get stuck in a rut, Pastor.
Mm-hmm, we do.
And it seems like it's too hard to get out of the rut.
Right.
But it's not, because all it requires is you to take one step forward. Not just to stand still,
yes,
but to take one step forward.
And so often we get upset with God when change is happening, when we are moving into a new season. God told me this morning that I'm moving into this new season in Him, and I embrace it. Okay. And it is a season where I am more sensitive than ever to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and trying my best to make sure that what I'm teaching and preaching, or what we're doing on the radio show, is so led by the Holy Spirit, not our own ideas of what it should be, but what God wants done in this show, in every service, everything. You know what I'm saying, Megan? Being so led by God, because He is our counselor, our comforter, our keeper, everything that song just said.
Amen. And I totally agree with you, because the same with me is I'm in a new atmosphere, like I just said.
Yeah.
And what better place to be than to let God have total control?
Ooh, yeah.
And when you do that, and you sit back and you let Him take the lead, you let Him be the shepherd.
Right.
Then the minute changes that you're going to go through aren't as rocky as they would have been if you wouldn't have been walking with your shepherd.
Oh, totally. I totally agree. And we see that here in this story. David, what appears to be bad, David and his 600 soldiers are kicked out of the protection of King Achish, and they are told to go home. And they get home, and if it wasn't bad enough to be kicked out from their protection with the king, they are now home, and they walk into a mess. And now we're in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I want to set this up before Carol joins us, and we can. So I want to just tell you what's going on here in this story. 3 days later, it took them 3 days. That's interesting, because you see 3 days over and over again in the Word. How long was Jesus in the tomb? 3 days, okay? 3 days later, David and his men arrived back in Ziklag, and the Amalekites now, the bad guys, had raided this whole area. And they tore David's town of Ziklag to pieces, and then they burned it down, the whole town. Whatever they were living in, tents, buildings, it says they burned it down. And they captured all the women, the young and the old, and they didn't kill anyone. Now, right there, that's a miracle. Right there, they didn't kill anyone. They drove them like a herd of cattle. And by the time David and his men entered the village, it had been burned to the ground. Their wives, their sons, their daughters had all been taken prisoner. And David and his men reacted the way I think we would all react in verse 4 of 1 Samuel 30. David and his men burst out in loud wails, and they wept and they wept until they were exhausted from weeping. Whoa. What a picture. We've been in those situations, haven't we, Megan, where it just seems like things didn't go the way we wanted to, or where something so catastrophic happened to us that we couldn't even do anything but cry.
Absolutely. Been there myself.
Yep. And this is what's going on right here, you know?
Yes, it is.
And yes, losing your son just a few weeks back. And so often in our lives, maybe it's not the loss of a loved one, but it may be a loss of a relationship that didn't work out, a divorce. It could be a financial devastation. It could be a job loss. Whatever it is, when we experience something very devastating, we tend to humanly do what these guys did, sit down and just cry, you know?
Yes, and that's, you know, that's an okay natural reaction.
It is.
Because it hurts.
It does.
And it's scary, no matter what the situation is.
It is.
But it's through that experience of the weeping that we need to draw closer to the Lord.
Amen.
So that he can help us through the situation.
Yeah.
So that we just don't lie there weeping and weeping and weeping and never get up.
Well, I agree with you. And I think that we're going to see here in this story and in the where we're going in Psalms and what the Holy Spirit's role is. The Holy Spirit's role is to be our counselor and our comforter. You know, and our standby, our helper, he's always there. God is always there. And God had not deserted David and these men, had he?
No.
He was right there.
Never did.
Never did. He was still right there. Now, things go from bad to worse, okay? To worser. Or worsest. I mean, it gets so bad. First, David and his guys are kicked out of the protection that they had with King Achish. Then they go home and they realize their whole town's been burnt to the ground. And then they realize all their wives and children are gone and all their herd of cattle and sheep and everything else are gone. Everything's gone. They've lost everything. Okay? Some of you out there may be able to relate to that. In especially the crash in our economy in the last few years, a lot of people have lost everything. And but now we see David, they're all weeping about everything that's gone and what's happened to their town. But now we see suddenly David was even in worse trouble. And what was going on here, Megan? Why was he in worse trouble? How could you be in much worse trouble than everything we just discussed?
I don't know. The only way you could be in worse trouble was to turn your back on God.
This is true.
I mean, really, that's the only worst place you could be.
Well, it says here, yes, fortunately, David did not turn his back on God. And it says, instead, here's what was going on with all of the soldiers. There was talk among the men, bitter over the loss of their families, of stoning David. They were ready to kill David. Okay. They blamed him. And I think so often, Megan, we tend to try to put blame on someone or some situation that has happened. We want somebody to take the fall for it. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Of course. And I can speak that to my own life because, you know, not understanding exactly why Grayson passed away.
Right.
That I went through a phase where I thought, well, did the doctors not do something correctly?
And they killed
him?
Right.
I mean, that's part of a natural grieving process when anything passes away.
But exactly.
It's so true. You have to, human nature, you've got to have somewhere to place your hurt. You've got to have somewhere to place your blame.
Right.
But it shouldn't be on someone else.
Right. But we tend to do that, right?
Of course we do. Of course we do.
And
Go ahead. Instead of letting the Lord help us through that and to see why things are happening the way that they are.
Oh, exactly. But I think so often, instead of backing up, sitting down, saying, okay, God, what's going on here that I'm not seeing, which is what we really should do. Okay. We so often get bitter. We get resentful. People get mad at God all the time. I mean, okay, God, you could have changed this, so why didn't you? You know?
Yep.
I love one of the things that Graham Cook has said, and I love his writings and his teachings. And one of the things he said was, God in his wisdom allows what he could easily have changed with his power. Okay.
Amen.
He allows things to happen, even though he knows he could make that different. So what is going on when bad things happen to good people? And that's what happened here, right here in this story. I mean, David's been serving God all his life. He loves God. His men were taught to serve God. They have been on this, you know, journey of running from King Saul. They have been supporting their leader, David. And then suddenly, when everything really affects them personally, I think this is a huge point right here, Megan. When it really affects them personally, their wives, their children are gone. Their houses are burnt to the ground. Everything they have is gone. Okay. It's easy to say, to tell somebody to keep trusting God when it doesn't affect you. Right?
Right. Sure. It's easier to say it than to actually do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here I go again talking about myself. I don't mean to, but.
Well, that's your most recent huge life event, so it's understandable.
Yeah. The biggest thing I've ever been through in my.
Well, your whole life. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when I think that's where we're tested, Pastor.
Yes. Oh, it is.
We're tested to see where we're going to go.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, I'm one to take on a challenge.
Right.
And that's exactly how I looked at the diagnosis that Grayson had, was it was a challenge to prove to the world that no matter what happened to my child, that I had faith abundant in God.
Amen.
Never faltered and never failed the entire time.
Right.
And that's what David and his men were getting ready to go through. They were going through a test.
They were. They were going through a test, and what a huge one at this point. And so what they do is they try to turn on David, and they say, let's just kill him. Let's just kill him. I mean, he should have done something to prevent this from happening. So often our anger is directed towards God. Carol just joined us. Carol, we're already into a lively discussion here, aren't we?
It sounds as if you are.
Yes, yes. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Hello to both of you. It's nice to hear you.
Yes.
Hi, Carol.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Doing good, Dave. How are you?
I'm having a great day.
Good.
Well, you know, when you let the Lord lead your day, you always have a great day.
There you go.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes they're a little bit of a teaching lesson along the way, but by the same token, if we know him, we know ultimately we will have a great day.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And we know ultimately that there is a reason for what is going on. You know, that's why I like that quote I just said. I'm going to say it again by Graham Cook, that we learn that God in his wisdom allows events, certain things to happen that he could have easily prevented by his power. Okay. But he sees the big picture. Talk to us about that, Carol, because I think that's very important concept here in the story about David.
How else would we grow?
Right.
In Christ, if we did not go through the learning lessons that have been placed in front of us.
Right.
And thank goodness and thank God for the fact that we know who he is and we know to trust him regardless of what humanity says and how limp the excuses for the things that people say and do and try to justify and the ways that we're placed into situations that require us to show our faith not only for ourselves but for everyone who knows us and comes in contact with us.
Exactly.
And even those who don't know us, when they see us have that unbounding faith that God will take care of the situation.
Right.
You know, even in hospitals and centers where people are extremely ill or debilitated in some way, if you see a person with a strong faith, everybody turns to them and says, how can that be?
Right.
Look at their debilitating illnesses or disease. How can it be that they think they will come through it? because exactly. God tells us he is faithful to us.
Well, and see, this is the main thing I want to get to in this show, and we're just going to keep repeating this concept over and over again. David knew God. He knew him through the times of being a little shepherd boy. He knew him as he grew up and was anointed the next king of Israel, yet he had to run for his life for years. David understood the nature of God, and David obviously had to make a choice right here. When they're talking about killing him, he has a choice to make. And I think that so often, Carol, we all have choices. We come to those crossroads times in our lives where we have a choice to make. Are we going to seek God and get his strength, his wisdom on this? Or are we just going to go off and do it the way we want to do it? You know what I'm saying?
We don't seem to be very successful when we do something based on our own intuition,
yeah,
what we call knowledge, what we call resources, whatever it might be.
Right.
We don't do well if we don't have the shepherd to guide us. And I'm really big into shepherds because yeah. I know the responsibility of shepherds.
Right.
When you take on the responsibility of leadership, whether it be a four-legged sheep or whether it be a sheep on two legs, you take on an awesome responsibility.
Right.
Ultimately, you are to guide and protect and teach, keep safe, protect.
Right. Right.
And when we don't do those kinds of things that we've been ordained to do or given the gift to do, then we are just saying to God, I don't have time to do the work you've asked me to do.
Right. Right.
And we can't do that. It behooves us to do the best we can in all the circumstances that he leads us.
Well, absolutely. And David had a choice right here. You know, he had a choice to sit down and say, okay, guys, yeah, you can just kill me. All right, go ahead if that makes you feel better. Or, you know, he had a choice to, or he had a choice to beg for his life. You don't see that he does any of that. In fact, David, in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30, David strengthened himself with trust in his God. In some translations, it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Okay. Megan, talk to us. How do you do that? And then we'll get Carol's take on that. How do you strengthen yourself with trust? How do you encourage yourself? What do you do? What's your responsibility when bad things are happening to good people?
Well, your responsibility is to pray.
Yeah.
And to pray for strength. But you also have to be submissive.
Right.
Because if you're a sheep in a flock of sheep and you have a shepherd, they're submissive to their shepherd.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. that's the leader.
Right.
And so in order for us to have courage and to be of a sound mind, we have to follow the shepherd.
Right.
So we have to be obedient sheep. We have to praise him. We have to pray to him.
Right.
And we have to submit to his plan, no matter what that is. And that's exactly what David was going to do.
Well, he did that. He encouraged himself in the Lord. It doesn't say he discouraged himself about what was going on in his situation. It doesn't say that he continued to say, woe is me, this is a mess. He didn't sit down and have a pity party, girls. He didn't do that. David did not do that. In verse 6, it says, David strengthened himself with trust in his God. Carol, what's your take on that? Because I think this is huge, this concept.
Well, I think it falls to us to strengthen ourselves by putting ourselves in right situations with right-thinking people. I'm talking about putting in ourselves into faith-growing situations.
Right.
And when we find ourselves put in it because of not of our doing, but because it seems as if we have lessons there to learn so we can progress and move ahead and be a better teacher, preacher, and friend and partner and everything else. But we put ourselves with right-thinking people. You're not going to see a herd of sheep stand still when this rogue shepherd or cowboy rides up with a lasso and a gun and looks like there's going to be danger. They won't put themselves in that. They'll run away from it. And
right.
Technically, I think that's what we should do.
Right.
When we find ourselves in situations that are godless, then we need to be God more.
Right.
And if we can't change the situation, We just need to pray that God will step in and change it, whether it's someone being accused wrongly of something, or whether it's family that doesn't know how to treat their children or the elderly, whatever it is. When we find ourselves in a godless situation, we need to pray in faith that God gives us the wisdom to deal with it however he would choose, or that he steps in and takes care of it.
Well, absolutely. But hear what David did, and I hear that point. David did something specific here. And this is what I want us all to see in this verse, verse 6. David strengthened himself with trust in the Lord. Now, did he do that by just saying, okay, all right, well, guys, just calm down here? We don't see any record of him having a speech of any type. We see that instead of actually addressing this issue of how mad everybody was at him and blamed him for the loss at Ziklag, he puts his attention on God. That's the point. And Megan, talk to us about this, because this is where a lot of us, we magnify the problem instead of the answer. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Exactly, and I know exactly what you mean. It's instead of dwelling on drama,
right?
Mm-hmm. Good. Focus on God. And people probably think, well, how do you do that? Well, don't get involved.
Right.
Or if you're in a situation where there's negative news, praise him through the negative news. Don't dwell on it.
Right.
Because all negativity is going to do is continue to bring you down.
Right.
It's going to keep pushing you back down into the trenches, and that's where the devil wants you.
Exactly.
So instead of focusing on the negative, be positive and praise God through the negativity, and don't dwell on it.
Well, wasn't that what David had to have done here? Did he? How do we get strength? How do we strengthen ourselves? I direct everybody to Nehemiah 8:10. We don't have to go there, but I can quote it to you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay? So instead of going down that rabbit hole of depression and discouragement, and David thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to kill me now. If this today isn't bad enough, now they're coming after me. And what am I going to do? And feeling sorry for himself. You don't see that in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30. You see that David strengthened himself with trust in his God. Joy of the Lord is my strength. How do we strengthen ourselves with trust in God? How do we encourage ourselves? Carol, talk to me about this, because this is a huge point and a practical point for each of us on a daily basis.
Well, as I said earlier, we put ourselves in right situations. The first right situation is to confess that you're not capable of doing it or understanding totally what's happening without a relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
True.
If you don't have that, you're knocking your head against a wall.
Right.
Because negative things do not come from God. Positive things come from God.
Right.
And if we don't dwell in that positivity, then we're going to sink further down into the mire and the muck of the quicksand.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to, first of all, put ourselves in a right situation. Then we've always got to reach for our guidebook.
Right.
You know, when you play canasta, when you play basketball or football or baseball or just a yard game with your kids, there are rules to follow.
Sure.
Ways to get ahead of things. We pick up scripture and we use that as our battlefield.
Amen.
Now, we have to rely on it. It happened so many years ago that none of us were around. We don't know what happened. And if we grew up in situations and families where the Bible just was not lived or taught or anything of that nature, we're lost. We have to, even at late ages, find ourselves and pick up that guidebook.
Amen.
And we have to know that in there, when it speaks of God does this and God does that, then he does it for us as well as doing it for other people that have passed us years and years and eons ago.
So you're saying, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, that we've got to, when we find ourselves in one of these times of doubt, uncertainty, bad news, bad situation, the strength that comes from encouraging ourselves in God. God's word says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you pick up the word of God, especially in the book of Psalms, so many of them were written by David through tough times.
Yes, they were.
Where he learned the nature of God, you know?
And some of the best music, secular or otherwise, comes from anguish that people have felt.
Right.
Or when they don't understand the situation. If you're a musician, that's the logical place you go, because you're pouring out your heart in ways that you could not speak to another person, but you can sing them. You can feel the lamentations in them when you sing those words that have caused you pain and grief and horror and no understanding of what's happening to you. You know, in Nehemiah 8:10, like you described, it says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
You know, we have a period of moaning and groaning and grieving. That's human nature. We
yes.
do it.
Yes.
Sometimes we know why we do it. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we carry it to the grave with us. And sometimes we just do what I feel more comfortable doing as I express to the Lord what my grief is. I'd say, Lord, I don't know who, what, when, where, why, and how the circumstances might have been. But my heart is poured out to you, Father. And I need you to give me the wisdom and the strength and the courage and the love and forgiveness to accept that you guide my days. You know my heart is enraptured with pain and agony. So please hear my lamentations and give me wisdom.
And we pour it out just like you're saying, and then we declare that God is good, and we're going to do this song, and it is amazing. It should make you jump. Israel Houghton and the New Breed, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Come on, say that loud. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Say it again. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Now come on, clap your hands and shout if you believe it tonight. Come on, everybody!
Wow. All right. That's a declaration. And we actually did that song at church this morning. And what a good song, declaring that God is good and his mercy endures forever. And this is what it is to encourage yourself in the Lord, declaring that God's got a plan. God is good. He knows what is best for each of us. That's the kind of trust we've got to have in him. That David sat down and said, okay, I trust you, God. You're good. Let me go back to what your nature is. You're good. You love me. You care about me. You know that this has been an awful thing that's happened. But you are good and you have a plan. Megan, what do you think on that? Because that song really brings it. You're good all the time. All the time, you're good. You there? She is? Megan?
Are you there?
Okay,
I'm here.
Now we got you. Okay.
That song makes you want to shout amen.
Doesn't it?
Top of your lungs.
We were doing that this morning at Beacon.
Oh, I love it. That's the kind of music I like.
Yeah.
You know, it's what we have to do in the time of when we feel we're defeated, is that we have to thank him for his mercy and
amen.
For his grace.
Amen.
And we have to thank him for his joy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Pastor, when you do that in the midst of anguish or in the midst of grief, whatever you got going on, your attitude can be turned around.
Amen.
When you let the Holy Spirit come into your life and work through you.
Yes.
It's a totally different life when you walk with God.
And right here, this passage of scripture has been one that I have taught, I don't know how many times through the years, and I've lived it over and over again, that when I'm in the worst set of circumstances, to begin to encourage myself in the Lord and remind myself that God is good and his mercy endures forever. And he's a wonderful, merciful Savior. And he's got a plan that I can't see. When I start declaring that and confessing it out loud with my mouth and praising God, circumstances change. Carol, talk to us about this, because it works.
Yes, it does work. And I'm reminded in James 5:13, anyone who is having troubles should pray.
Yeah.
It doesn't say you should go to the mayor of your city. It doesn't say you should go to the Chief Justice of the United States. It doesn't say you should run to your neighbor, even to your family. It says simply again in James 5:13, anyone who is having troubles should pray.
Right. Exactly.
Now, your prayers are not going to be answered by a human. Your prayers are answered because God hears them.
Amen.
And he acts on them.
Amen.
Take your prayers to Jesus. He goes straight to his Father and says, Father. I've always imagined this from the time I was a young kid, of when I would pray because I had a concern. My concerns as a child were not monumental. They were childish concerns, I'm sure. Because when you are a child, you speak like a child.
Yeah.
So I would just go to God, and I'd sit in my bedroom, and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand all of this, and I don't know who to ask but you. So, Jesus, would you help me? Would you talk to God for me? And in my foolish, childish mind, I would see him with his ear bent toward me and inclined to me to hear me. Then I would vision him walking over to his Father God and saying, Father God, Carol has a problem, and this is what the problem is. She's asked me to intercede. What must I do to help her? And that's the way I envision it, and that's the way I still envision it. If I've got an issue that's causing me consternation, or even an issue of great joy and happiness, I want to share that as well. I want to thank Jesus for going to God and saying, she's happy. Look at those smile wrinkles, you know?
Yeah.
At the same time, if my mouth is turned upside down and I have a frown because something has destroyed my heart, at least for the time being, I want to be able to know that Jesus heard me. He took it to his Father.
Well, I mean, that's what David did, what you're just describing in verse 8. David prayed to God.
That's right.
And he said, shall I go after these raiders? Can I catch them? I mean, he asked specific, and it's okay to ask God, okay, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? When we ask God, I really think, just looking at this scripture right here and from my own personal experience, that as we take time first to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, as we take time to bolster ourselves up with the joy of the Lord, a song like we just played. I mean, that'll do it to you. As we take time to really encourage ourselves about God's goodness and his love for us, and then we go to him and we ask that question, God, what should I do in this situation? And we know right here that God answered him. Megan, what's your take on that?
Well, you know, it's just like Carol was saying, Jesus is our advocate. That's
Amen.
Why he came to this earth.
Yeah.
He is the ultimate shepherd.
Right.
Because shepherds for flocks give their lives. They will put their lives on the line for their flock.
Right.
That's what Jesus does on a daily basis.
Right.
So if we learn to develop a relationship with the Lord, with
there
Jesus,
you go.
Then we have a different life to live. But we can't neglect it, Pastor. We can't be on fire for a few weeks and then go back down into the quicksand for a few days and then come back up. But we do that. I've done it.
Okay.
But that's where, with what happened on the cross, we are forgiven and we are
Amen. Amen.
Unmarked.
Amen.
We're not bruised.
Right.
We can walk and be proud of ourselves even for the past that we've had because we are forgiven. We just have to learn to develop a relationship with him.
Okay, that word relationship, that is what you see here in this situation. That word just really caught my attention because you see that in the mess that David was in, where they're talking about stoning him, he gets home, the whole city's gone, burned down, all the wives, all the children, all of their sheep and cattle, everything's gone. It's been stripped from him. They have lost everything. David strengthens himself in God, and then he sits down and says, okay, God, what shall I do about what has happened to me? You know, can I catch them? Should I go after them? And I find this interesting. Carol, you're talking about praying. This goes right along with this. God, what should I do in this situation? Give me direction. What should I do? And God gives him specific direction. That's what happens here. I don't know about you both, but I know that this just to me is a plan of action right here, laid out right in front of us. And God comes through and answers. Carol, talk to us about this.
You know, God is the chief warrior.
Yeah.
He knows all the armies, and he knows the leaders of each army, whether it's the good army or the bad army. And he knows what will win out, which is ultimately his will and his goodness.
Right.
Mercy and grace, because it endures forever.
Right.
He does not like wrongdoing. To be negative and to be wrongdoing is against God. It is against his very nature, which is to love unconditionally and love humanity as he loves us.
Right.
I think that we go back to Psalms 25, as Megan was saying a few seconds ago, don't remember my youth, because we all make silly mistakes in our youth, because we're ignorant as to what the world expects from us, what our families, we may know, expect from us, but somehow those two don't always meet. And then we find out that, there's somebody far greater than family, and that somebody is God, and we've got to figure out what he wants from us.
Exactly.
That's when we begin to start seeking a right relationship, a
right.
close, loving relationship with him.
Amen.
So in Psalms 25:7 says, remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you were good, O Lord.
Amen. Good verses. Absolutely.
No, and he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way.
Amen.
All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful
Amen.
For those who keep the demands of his covenant. And sometimes we get that concept very early in life. And sometimes, you know, we have to do the thing that's found in 25:7, remember not the sins of my youth.
Right.
Because we're going to do goofy, silly things. We're
right.
going to do things that are totally outrageous.
Yeah.
We're going to do things that are against his nature. So as we become more enlightened and seeking a better relationship with an understanding of Jesus Christ through God, then we begin to know we've got to seriously pay attention to this shepherd, because he's letting us know in the 23rd Psalm that he does lead us. We've just got to learn to be sheep that understand.
Amen. And David did get that.
Dadgum rebellious.
Yeah. David did get that, and he, when he said, "I should I go after these raiders, and can I catch them?" And God said, go after them. Yes, you'll catch them. You'll make the rescue. And then in verse 9 of 1 Samuel 30, David goes, and he takes his 600 guys with him. So there had to be some kind of reconciliation between he and the 600 guys, because they go with him. And we're going to talk more about this in the next hour, and there's just so much truth here that we want to share with you, and the nature of God and what it's all about, and how David learned God's nature. He learned it through hard times like this that we're describing. The word of God is right there and is living and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it teaches us the ways of God and how to react in certain circumstances, which we're going to talk about more in this next hour. Can't even believe a whole hour has gone by. But if you are in the Tampa Bay area and do not have a church that you attend, we welcome you to come to Beacon of Hope. We are located strategically. It's a good area at the corner of Drew and 19. And most people in our Tampa Bay area know where Drew and 19 is. It's a little harder to find our place. It's behind the Toyota dealership. You can go to our website, bohmglobal.com, for specific directions on how to get there. Speaking of our website, Maxine, our webmaster up in Georgia, has done an excellent thing with it. It's been revised lately, and there's just God is using the website. We invite you to tell people about it. They can go and find out about the work of the ministry at Beacon of Hope, and that is bohmglobal.com. Prayer ministry we have, and if you have a prayer request today, send your request to prayers@bohmglobal.com. It will be, your prayer request will be picked up, and a prayer will be sent out. And we have seen tremendous answers to prayer through the years that we've had this prayer ministry. And we're very, very thankful for the many people who are on that prayer team. Carol and Pastor Jim are the ones who usually send out those prayer requests. And write a prayer, and we all agree on it when we get that. You can be on the prayer team by going to that same email address, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and saying, put me on the prayer team, and I want to be there, and I want to pray when you all send out your request. And we'll be more than happy to put you on the team. You don't have to be a member of Beacon of Hope or an active weekly participant at Beacon of Hope to be a part of the prayer team. Anybody can. We welcome you to do that. We're going into the next hour with Megan and with Carol in just a moment. Station ID.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Pastor Marcia here with Carol and with Megan. And we're on an interesting topic here, girls. Megan, we were talking a moment ago about those hard times in our lives that so often we don't understand. We don't get while it's happening, why it's happening. And, you know, sometimes it may take a long time, maybe take months, maybe take years before we see God's whole plan unfold. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
I absolutely do. And that's the way it is with me, is that I know that through the loss of a child, that there's going to be many things that I'm going to see, many
yes.
blessings I'm
yes.
going to see, many people that I'm going to minister to through what I've been through and through the walk that I went through with God during that circumstance.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it doesn't matter circumstance that you're in. If you would make a choice to turn to God and just totally just let him envelop you and talk to him as he is our dad, because he is.
Amen.
You would just take the time to talk to him and listen and let him lead you
right.
where you're supposed to go. Your circumstances will change.
They will. And, you know, that's a good point, because 1 Samuel 30, where we are right now, when David was in dire distress and there had been so much loss. He had lost everyone, and he had lost everything in this, his city, everything. I mean, you talk about an opportunity for a pity party. He certainly had one, and an opportunity for abject discouragement and despair. He certainly had that opportunity. Yet God came through when David began to encourage himself in the Lord, and God touched him. Carol, this is a thing I see so often in people's lives. Those that will really do this, like David did, and say, okay, God, I don't understand why I'm going through this, whether it be cancer that you went through a few years ago, Carol, or the loss of a child, Megan, that you and Ben just went through, or how both of you, Carol and Megan, you guys just went through the loss of your devoted dog companions, Sadie and Floyd Henry. When we go through life's losses, life's pain, life's struggle, it's an opportunity for us to wallow, or it's an opportunity for us to rejoice and go to the next level with God. You know what I'm saying, Carol?
Yes, I do. I think for me, the healing part comes from not disavowing the fact that he's gone, that
right.
he's no longer physically here with
right.
me. But the lessons learned and the lessons taught and the ministry that he and I were given, because I felt we were given the ministry at the same time. You know, sometimes people won't hear just a woman, a gray-haired old woman speaking in the darkness, but they will listen when it's a story about an animal. So
right.
I find myself walking through it, remembering the lessons and trying to respond to each lesson with a positive attitude. And we really did it, didn't we, Floyd? You and me and God, we did it.
Right.
And we have the message to deliver, and we delivered the message.
Exactly.
And our relationship was one of great love and great respect, and shepherding each other through our relationship with Jesus.
Amen. And it's a joy that God gives us animals and people in our lives to love, and children and grandchildren, and all the way that God blesses us with friendships and just all of that. It's just amazing what God does. And he touches us through these events and these people and these animals. And we've got to play that old song today by the Gaither Vocal Band that Bill Gaither wrote a long time ago. He touched me.
Eternity rolls.
Praise God. Good old song. Woo! He touched me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good old song. Love to hear that. And it so pertains right here to our story in 1 Samuel 30. Evidently, as David began to encourage himself in the Lord, God gave him specific direction when David asked, "What should I do?" And God said, "Get your men and go after the bad guys and recover what was lost." Now, Carol, I don't know about you, but I know that when God gives me some specific direction and it seems impossible, if you think about this, get 600 tired guys who probably haven't eaten much in the last few days and get them to go after the bad guys and recover everything that was lost. Boy, I'll tell you what, that sounds like a tall order, don't you think?
It's a pretty tall order when you stop and realize the limitations of the physical human body.
Yes.
And the emotional tiredness that overcomes. You know, these guys have been at the height of their brain power to save themselves and pursue the pursuers.
Right.
And take care of that part of life. They're mentally exhausted as well.
Sure, yeah.
Physically and mentally exhausted. But they rouse around on the command of the shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And they go.
Amen.
And that's what we have to do.
Yes.
If we are 200 strong,
yeah,
using the reverse, if we are 200 strong as Christians representing any Christian denomination, any church level, if we are 200 strong and we know there are 600 getting ready to run off a cliff,
right,
what should we do?
Right.
Should we run after them and try to protect them and save them? Or should we let them go and say, not my responsibility?
Right.
We should do the same thing that David did.
He answered the call. He answered the call. He went after him. And he had a mission to perform. And when God gives us specific direction, Megan, let me ask you this. I mean, aren't there times in our lives where we just can't see how this could possibly work out? And it's almost like blind faith we step out in, like Carol's talking, like sending you out to get these bad guys when you're all physically tired and you are emotionally exhausted. Yet God says, no, you go follow it this way. I'll take care of it.
Ooh. Absolutely, because when I was pregnant with Grayson, I didn't know whether my son was going to live or die.
Right.
But when God gave me orders to
right.
get up off the floor
right.
and to take a stand in the battle line at the front in frontline freedom,
I remember that day.
On the line,
mm-hmm.
He called me out as a warrior, and
right.
I never thought of myself as a warrior. Well, I took his orders, and I listened, and I obeyed.
Right.
And he told me the orders were to show your faith
right.
through your pregnancy. That's
right.
what I did.
Right.
And I chose to do that no matter the outcome.
Right.
And that's what he's looking for, Pastor and Carol, is he's looking for people to hear him and to follow his orders.
Amen.
Not to back down, not to stay in a weeping, curled up position. He's looking for fighters.
Amen.
Because that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take in this world, is for those people to step forward, to not be ashamed, and to be like David and be joyful of heart, no matter whether those other men wanted to kill him. He chose to stand up and to praise God and to get into the and to praise the Lord through the circumstance. And I guarantee you that if David would have had a bad attitude about
right.
charging forward,
right.
those men would have not followed him.
Oh, absolutely
they
not.
They would have been like, you're full of it, David. Just go on by yourself. We wish you a lot of luck.
Right.
So it took someone with the heart of God, with the courage that he gives us to charge forward so that he could be the supporting person of those army men to charge them forward in the orders that they were supposed
Amen.
To follow.
Amen. Which is so much like the metaphor of the good shepherd. And Jesus talked about it in John chapter 10, and he said, I am, meaning him. It's one of his seven I am statements in the book of John, where he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I think I forgot one, but anyway, there he says all those, and he says, oh, I am the door, and he also says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus himself is the good shepherd. A shepherd must take control of the situation, and Jesus did that, and David did that here in this example. Carol, you've had sheep, so talk to us about the role of the shepherd, because sheep are kind of, they like to go off and do their own thing, don't they?
They're not the brightest animals in the barn.
And that can be us, too, right?
Yeah, we're not the brightest animals in the barn.
No.
You know, we're rebellious. We're rebellious, right, just like the real sheep with the right, woolly little furs. You know, they'll run into a river. Instead of standing at the river's edge to drink or the lake's
right,
edge, they run into it.
Right.
To know that their fleece will catch all that water, bog them down, and drown them. Well, that's what we allow ourselves to do. We get bogged down in all the things that
right,
we run to. We get bogged down in drugs. We get bogged down in prostitution. We get bogged down in alcohol. We get bogged down in depression.
Right.
And the list goes ad nauseum, actually.
Exactly.
No, and I love Max Lucado, and some of the things he writes are just so...
Oh, they are.
So simply profound. You know, in this book, The Safe in the Shepherd's Arms, which is all about the 23rd Psalm, he says, God, our shepherd doesn't check the weather. He makes the weather. He doesn't defy gravity. He created it.
Uh-huh.
He isn't affected by health. He has no body.
Right.
Jesus said in John 4:24 that God is spirit.
Yes. Yes.
And since he has no body, he has no limitations.
Right.
So he can be in New Hampshire, and he can be in Texas at the same time.
Amen.
He can be in England. He can
yes,
be in Italy.
Right.
Cambodia. I mean, you just go on and on. Because he's where we need him to be.
Amen.
And we've just got to learn that we don't control anything. Nothing here belongs to us.
That's true. Isn't that true? Oh, my.
You can look around your home, and you know... my home. You know that I have a gazillion things and gazillion books and things to read and all of that. None of that is mine. It's all on loan.
Right.
I know that when I'm called home, none of that is going with me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's all on loan by his gracious goodness.
Amen.
And his love for me, he has given me or allowed me to live in and possess only while I'm living flesh.
Right.
The things that he has placed before me.
Right.
But he, you know, I have to in turn give God something. I have to give him my appalling attention. I have to love him through everything that happens. I have,
right, sure.
I have to believe in him. I have to serve him and be served by him.
And that's what David did here. I mean,
that's
David
it,
continued to love God no matter what happened to him, you know?
Unblinding faith. He knew he had been told to go do it.
Right. And he goes. And so let's talk about that for a minute. So we're in 1 Samuel 30, if you're just joining us. And David and the guys set out, and they don't really understand where they're going, really. They just know that God is leading them. And they arrive at a brook. And it's called Bezor. And some of them dropped out. Some of them were too weary. And we see that in life, don't we? Sometimes there are dropouts. Some that are just saying, you know, I can't go on. There were 200 of them that were too fatigued, and they stayed by the brook. But the others went on with David. And soon they came across a person. This is one of those golden opportunities we talk about, that God plants the right person in the right time, right in front of your face for a reason. And here's this guy, and he's an Egyptian, and he is hungry. He's famished, and they find him, and David gives him bread, and he gives him something to eat. He gave him some water. He gave him a fig cake. He gave him some raisin muffins. How about that? And as he begins to give him nourishment, David is a type of Jesus there, where Jesus gives us nourishment through his word when we are in utter despair and having a rough time. And all of a sudden, this life begins to come back in this Egyptian. And because he had not had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and 3 nights, again, we see the metaphor there with Jesus, did not have anything to eat or drink for 3 days and three nights while he was in the tomb. Now, David says to him, what do you do? Where are you from? Who do you belong to? You know? And then the Egyptian tells him that he was part of the group that burned Ziklag. Now, this is fascinating because God allowed this Egyptian to be faint, to not be able to go on, because he was going to be the very one in the Egyptian's distress, pain, physical discomfort, weakness, no food, no water. He was going to be the one that led David and his men straight to the enemy so that they could raid them and get all their stuff back. Megan talked to me about how God just puts the right person at the right place at the right time, man.
Well, I tell you what, that's a powerful piece of scripture right there.
Woo, it is.
I've never read this chapter of the Bible. I mean, I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't remember it.
Okay.
But, you know, it's amazing because there was someone that destroyed a city.
Right.
That through David, God showed his forgiving nature.
Yes.
He fed him. He helped him to feel better. I mean, just to put it blatantly, he helped him to feel better.
Absolutely.
And then God uses that person that David cared for to lead David and his men to where they were supposed to go.
Amen.
That is so God, Pastor and Carol. That is just,
isn't it?
Exact nature is that when we allow him to take control of our lives, he will lay everything out in front of us the way that it's supposed to go.
And he will so often use people that we would least expect and
exactly.
Situations that we would least expect God to use, like this Egyptian. They stumble upon this guy on the road. He's there for a reason. He has a plan.
We need to be very careful about who we approach and how we approach and how we cast them aside in our minds, because we have entertained angels unaware.
Yeah, absolutely. More than likely.
I know that I have actually stood in the presence of at least eight angels. I have stories about that I personally lived and recognized, not at the moment, but when I was away from the situation. Then I realized that the person sent to me was not of this earth.
Yeah.
They took the form of someone from this earth, but they were not of this, because they disappeared truly in front of my very eyes.
Right.
But
right.
We need to be always cautiously aware, because God does not always bring a king to save us.
Right.
Sometimes, just like this, he brings a king's servant or a slave.
A slave, yes. So interesting.
You know, to save us. And isn't it? Can you just imagine the depth of awe that those people stand when they, if they ever truly realize that they have been used by God?
Exactly. I know. And it is interesting to me that this person is just an ordinary guy, but he's a guy that he would probably least expect to be used by God in this situation. But God did use him. And in the process, David was reminded that God was holding him in the midst of the situation and taking care of him. Cedric, let's go to that. It's track 4, I believe, on the other CD. Yeah, he'll hold you. I want to play this song right now. It applies by the group Selah.
Make the road anymore. Your heart's been a washed upon life's shore, but you hold me through.
God, he'll hold you no matter what crashing down of circumstances you happen to be going through right now. He will hold you, and that's what he did for David. In the midst of a huge trial where his men turned on him, his city was burnt to the ground, all the wives and children and cattle and sheep were taken away as plunder, God had a plan, and he held David in his arms as he executed that plan. And we find in 1 Samuel chapter 30 that this Egyptian that they had just stumbled upon on the path led them straight to where the enemy was camped. And it says here that instead of being afraid of what to do next, David pounced. I love this in the Message Bible. This is 1 Samuel 30, verse 17. David pounced. And now, here at this point, I want to get both of you to comment on this. He fought them from before sunrise until evening of the next day. Not one of them got away except 400 young guys who got away on the camels. And David rescued everything the Amalekites had taken. And he rescued his two wives. Nothing and no one was missing, young or old, son or daughter, plunder or whatever. David recovered the whole lot, and he herded the sheep and cattle before them, and they all shouted David's plunder. Wow! Megan, talk to me about this. You talk about a great storyline for a movie, right? Wow.
Amen. It is. It would be an awesome movie.
Yeah.
Show God's mighty power.
Amen.
And, you know, just like I said earlier, that is so God.
Yes.
I'm going to put this, God told me to share this while that song was playing. And by the way, that I love that song.
Oh, I did too.
Is that when we went through what we went through at the hospital back in April with Grayson, is that I look back on it now and I think, who was that person? Who was I at that hospital that it did not faze me the way that I expected it to?
Right.
And there's one person. It was God.
It was God.
And it was God. And it's just like with David.
Yes.
The way that he fought as long as he did, and how he conquered everything, was through the awesome power of God.
Well,
that's the only way that it did.
And physically, look at this. I figured up this morning when I was teaching this, I think he must have been fighting for about 40 hours. Because 40 is the number of trial and wilderness experience and temptation. And I would imagine if he started before sunrise on one day and ended in the evening of the next, when he finally got it all taken care of and he was ready to round up all the stuff they had stolen from him, you talk about 40 hours of intensity. Woo, Carol, talk to me about this. Wow, I love this story.
Well, it had to be from divine power.
It was. It had to be. Strength. Yes.
We speak about strength in a situation where our lives are challenged or the lives of someone we love or barely know, where they're challenged, and we say you've got to have strength. You've got to have the strength that Jesus Christ can give you through his Father.
Amen.
And many people don't understand that. It's a supernatural strength. In our human, it's just like in David's human. It's his physical body. The physical bodies of his men could not have sustained that intense fighting that long a period of time.
No.
But they were working with a divine power, giving him the strength and the courage and the faith to continue on.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
We need to fight that kind of a fight. And I propose to you and to Megan that when people, just ordinary people like the three of us, are put into situations that they don't understand or that are life-threatening, we have to remember one thing. While we may tremble and we may fall and we may shake and be out of our head as far as being able to have rational thinking and doing, we have to call on the strength of our God.
Amen. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. There it comes back again.
That's right. And when we have that kind of strength, we're undefeatable.
Oh, and, you know, when you go back to the moment that David, instead of wallowing in the mess he was in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30, he strengthens himself with trust in his God. And look how it turned out. Megan, give us your take on this. I love this chapter.
Well, you know, just as I've been saying, no matter what type of situation that you're in, if you would graciously seek God, whether you have a friend that's a Christian, or whether you go to church, if you are in a situation and you feel like you're not getting anywhere, that's where you need to draw closer to God,
yeah,
as David did.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he could have been killed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He may not have ever gotten his family back.
Oh, yeah.
If he wouldn't have listened to God, I don't even want to fathom what could have happened to David.
Oh, yeah.
David wouldn't be the man that he was and that portrayed in the Bible as he was, because he obeyed God. So
exactly,
that should be our number one goal on earth, is to please God.
Amen.
It shouldn't be worrying about pleasing other people, Pastor and Carol. It should be pleasing God and wanting to learn what he wants us to do. That's my job. That's what I plan on doing for
Amen.
The rest of my life. Because,
right,
as Carol said, she had angels come into her life. So did I. I gave birth to one.
Yeah.
And that boy, that angel, changed my life.
Right.
That's what has brought me closer to God through that experience. And I can't wait, and I want other people to feel this way, I can't wait to see how the rest of my life portrays out here on earth when I follow his plan.
That's the whole key.
And I pray that,
yes,
for other people.
That's the key, though. You just hit on it. Carol's been hitting on it, too. David, when he inquired of God and said, what shall we do? What shall we do here? And God said, go after him. You're going to take care. He's, you know, you're going to get it all back. I mean, he had to step out in faith and get somehow muster those 600 guys to go with him. And then when they got there, they had to fight for 40 hours or more. I mean, you talk about a battle. But God knew the end of the story. We know the end of the story. Satan is a defeated foe. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. And greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And when,
amen,
God gives you the specific direction, take it, go with it, and strength will come as you wait upon God. Oh, we sang that this morning. Strength will come as we wait upon God. Carol, what's your take on this? I love this.
Well, I think Megan hit a point when we need to quit trying to please the world and everybody,
right,
around,
yes,
us,
be it, yes,
family, friends, strangers, whoever. You know, we try to be fashionable in our dress and fashionable in our knowledge of things that don't matter, like good manners and where the best place in town to eat and the best place to go to the beach. And we try to be up on all that. Why don't we adorn ourselves with the armor of Jesus Christ
yeah.
and put on that shield of protection found in Ephesians 6:10?
Yeah.
Put on the armament of Christ. And first of all, start with a hunger and a thirst that is insatiable. You can't fill it with iced tea, but, you know, the southern champagne is sweet tea.
Yeah, probably.
But you cannot fill it with that southern champagne.
Right, yeah.
You fill it only with the words of Jesus Christ as he speaks them, because his Father speaks to him and he gives us the strength and the courage and the wisdom to seek him. We've got to take that into consideration. Put on the shield of protection and armament that says, I will stand forever in my place proclaiming the word of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and a relationship that I have chosen to walk into.
Well, you said the word again, and that's the word of the day. It's relationship. It was this morning as I was preaching. Let's go to Psalm 23. You've mentioned this, and I just want to look at the first two verses. That's it right now. And I just have done two funerals, and looking forward, Megan, to being with your whole family in a few weeks and do the memorial service for little Grayson. And so this passage of scripture has been on my heart so much. And I woke up early this morning again, and I just kept hearing these first couple verses. The Lord is my shepherd. And David knew him as Jehovah Rohi, his shepherd. And he said, I shall not be in want. Okay. You know, when we don't know what to do, we've talked about that on this show today. When we don't have an answer, we're not sure. God, what do you want me to do in this mess? Then we go to our shepherd. We run to Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Okay. My sheep hear my voice. And guys, we can hear the voice of God. Megan, talk to me about that. We can hear God talking to us. He is our shepherd, is he not? He can give us direction.
Absolutely. And I ask for it on a daily basis.
Amen.
Because, you know, we've had a lot going on in our lives, and now we've got Grayson's celebration service coming up.
Yes, yes.
And I'm in the middle, and never thought of myself as ever doing this. I'm in the middle of writing a book
yes.
about my journey with God through Grayson.
Right.
And when I take time off and take a break from all of the emotions that come with writing about what went on, God always says something. I'll ask him something, and he'll always say, well, write your book, Megan.
Yeah.
Get back to writing your book.
Right.
And it's like, okay, I'll go back. I'm going back. And when I'm obedient,
right.
you guys, it's amazing the blessings and the joy
Amen.
That I get.
Amen.
Yes. Even though it hurts my heart to dwell up all of those things that we went through, it's amazing the joy that comes from it.
Amen.
It's amazing what happens when you follow that voice.
That's it, following the voice of God, no matter, because he knows the outcome of what's going to happen if you follow his direction, like this
right.
with David. Go ahead.
And, you know, God is a fashioner. And do you know what I mean by a fashioner?
He's moldiness.
He's a molder.
Yeah, he's a molder, a maker.
Yep, he
yeah.
sure is.
So
mm-hmm.
we must become fashioners
mm-hmm.
in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Using all the gifts and the talents and the ideas and the creative ways that God has endowed us, we must fashion not only our lives, but the lives of others. We must show them that they are clay and just putty in the hands of the master.
Right.
If they allow themselves to be permeable and molded, what a difference their life will have.
Absolutely. And if we allow ourselves to really know Jehovah Rohi, who is the Lord our shepherd, if we allow ourselves to be one of those sheep, there may be some people listening today who go, you know, I really don't think I'm one of God's children. I don't get it. I don't understand that he can lead me and guide me. That's the biggest, most wonderful adventure you'll ever have, is to become a sheep. And you do that by accepting Jesus into your heart and starting a relationship. There's that word again, right there, relationship with him. And when you start that relationship, you learn that as he is your shepherd, then he takes care of all the details of your life. That's what we're talking about. Whoa, Megan, that's what you've been experiencing, Carol. That's what you've been experiencing in your life. He takes care of details.
Yes, he sure does.
I think probably the 23rd Psalm is, for me, the most important set of scripture in the Bible.
It's very important. It very is, because what it's doing here is showing us the nature of God.
And it's showing us who we can become.
Yeah.
If we become obedient.
Yes.
If we don't get a wild hair to run out and jump the river.
Yeah, if we don't go off and do our own thing and not follow what God has for us, yes.
You know, when we talk about the green pastures, we're talking about the earth that we're walking on and the land that we will see when we leave here, when we go to be with our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
What a wonderful experience that will be. So many people approach death with this is the end. I won't be doing anything anymore. I'm looking forward to the next transition.
Amen. Amen.
I want to see the beauty in the streets of gold.
Ooh.
I want to hear the angels sing all day long.
There's nothing to be afraid of.
Life has counted for something. I don't want to go through my life with regrets at the last breath and say, if only I coulda, shoulda, woulda.
Well, since you just said that word regret, we're going to do this song that I was planning on doing anyway. Megan, I bet you know what it is, by Matthew West. Hello, my name is... Hang on. Here we go. Track 6.
Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. The song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One.
That's a crazy wild song, and I just love it. And it just fits in perfectly right there. I'm no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. Oh, my. I'm going to say that again and then look for both of you for a comment. I'm no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. I am. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. Woo! Carol, comment on that. Whoa!
Well, he lets us know that when we come to him in humble adoration and give ourselves, our earthly selves, over to him in a spiritual frame of mind, we are home.
Yeah.
We say, you know, take me as I am, Father. Clean me up, dust me off, polish me, and make me humble and always, always, always obedient to you. And when I've stepped away from that, then it's time for you to discipline me or to teach me, whichever seems appropriate.
Amen. I'm no longer defined by all the wreckage behind, Megan.
Nope.
I love that song.
I did.
Because I had to make sure I muted the phone because I was singing along with it. But I hope you didn't hear me.
Didn't hear you. No, I was doing the same thing here in the studio because I love that song.
I love it
when he gets to that, hello, my name is Child of the
too.
One True King. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I know it. I love it because we are children of
Woo.
The King.
Yeah.
And, you know, I driving home the other night after we had let Sadie go to heaven, I asked the Lord, I said, why? Why now? Why couldn't we have her longer?
Yeah.
And his response was, because with death, there is new life.
Right.
And that can even ring true from the song.
Right.
Is when you let the old die,
yes.
There's new life on the other side.
Ooh, yeah.
And, you know, no matter what you've done, you know, everything is forgivable.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you have the permission to continue to do it or to ask for forgiveness and go back and continue to do it. It's called, you need to let the old die and let the new begin by letting the Holy Spirit move within your soul and your spirit. And when you finally want to seek that out, then you will have an overabundance of joy.
Amen.
There's no word to put with it. It's just, you know, you learn to deal with life in a different way when you walk with God, because you let the humanistic ways of yourself die, that you let the flesh die. And you let God take control.
Well, don't you think Psalm 23 describes it right here? When you really take God as your shepherd and he begins to provide for you, and there you get to a point where you realize there's nothing I need. I don't mean material things. I'm just talking about you begin to realize that he meets your emotional needs also.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And he makes you lie down in green pastures and leads you beside quiet waters. He leads you to a place in him where you are just resting and you're not preoccupied with the things of the past. You're no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. I wrote that sentence down because I just love it. I'm no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. Instead, I am defined by my relationship with the Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd, and he leads me beside quiet waters. And he teaches me how to walk in peace, Carol. He really does. He just does.
Well, I like to fall back on Ecclesiastes 3, the whole book of Ecclesiastes, you know. It says in 11, he has made everything beautiful in his time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men/women. Yet he cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, wow. I look at Ecclesiastes and I read it all the time because when I'm, you know, like it says in verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh. I'm going through my time to weep, and yet I still laugh at some of the antics and some of the episodes that I shared with my animal companion.
Right.
And then a time to embrace and a time to refrain. All of those things have been the parallels of my life. If I had a time to be born, then there, of course, is a time to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
I always maintain that we have to die to ourselves in order to be born again in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We have to die to the ways of the world and the desires of the world that we may have pursued at some point in our lifetime, regardless of when we come to Christ. Some people don't come to him until that last second on their deathbed. What they would have missed if they didn't come to him earlier. They missed the joy of being around his loving children and being around the animals of the earth and the good products from the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars and all of those things in between. If we fail to realize all of those wonderful things in our lives come to us when we are the children of God, we have missed life.
Yeah, I'm a child of the one true King. Amen, yeah. Amen.
And its purpose, you know, our purpose is to praise him, thank him. He finds no greater joy than we are praising him, even in our hours of darkness, our hours of sickness, our hours of despair.
Amen.
And we must reach out and praise him. When I was going through the issue of discovering that I had breast cancer, God told me, and I mean just the words just infiltrated my heart and my body, that through the Holy Spirit, he spoke to me and said, I will bless you. Now, I can take that a thousand different ways, but I'm still standing.
Amen.
I'm still teaching. And when given the opportunity, I still preach the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because I know it to be true and right and honest and life-giving. Always forgiving, always loving us, even through the times we're very unlovable.
Right. And, you know, David understood this, and this is why I think he could write this in Psalm 23, that God was his shepherd, that he was corralling him, pulling him back from the brink of disaster from time after time, teaching him that the best place to hang out was beside still waters and to make him lie down in green pastures. Megan, talk to me about that and what that really means. I love that picture of God's nature right there in Psalm 23.
Yes, it's beautiful because, you know, and it even says that about being afraid of death.
Right.
Because, you know, there is light, like I said, there is life
yes.
beyond here on earth.
Amen.
And, you know, in regards to leading you beside still waters is, you know, why would you want to be next to a raging river? You wouldn't want to be because your life would be at risk. You would
right.
have, you would have no, it would just be crazy. So when you let the shepherd lead you, and when you have a shepherd, when you allow yourself to be in a flock,
right.
you allow the shepherd to lead you on the path that you're supposed to go.
Right.
And a shepherd would never, ever take his flock into a dangerous situation.
Right. Right.
Never would. And he's always there to protect you. And that's why that David portrayed God as a shepherd.
Amen.
Because
yeah.
that's exactly what he is.
Amen. And we're a child of the one true King.
Amen.
And because we are, God's got an answer for the situations that we each encounter. And we've been talking today on the show. If you joined us late, you'll have to listen to it on our website. It'll be on there sometime tomorrow, bohmglobal.com. Go back and listen to the first hour if you missed it, because we've talked about David's huge issue in his life that happened in 1 Samuel 30 and how if there was ever a time for David to give up, if there was an ever a time for him to just say, you know what, it's just not worth it anymore. I'm just going to go over and live in a little hut by myself and get away from all of this and everything that's happened. But David didn't. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and God turned his situation around. And that is such a huge lesson for us, every one of us. And if you don't have that, and we are going to say that word again today, relationship. If you don't have that relationship with God where you can talk to him and say, God, here's what I'm feeling. Here's what's going on in my heart. Here's what's going on in my emotions. Here's the pain I feel over the loss of this or that or a situation that's painful. When you don't have that relationship with the supreme being, the one true King, it just leaves you kind of feeling like you're floundering out there in this earth. We need this relationship with our shepherd. Carol, give us some, we're coming up here. I can't believe how late it's getting here. Give us some final thoughts about this and the shepherd and how that we sheep need our shepherd.
Well, I will read from my heart's little felt things in Ecclesiastes 2. And it simply states in verse 36, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness to those who love him, who know him, who please him. And that's what good sheep do. The good sheep are always trying to find a way to obey the shepherd. If the shepherd says, come with me, without even asking, they lift their head and they walk forward to that cool, calm water, that pasture of great abundance, where the shade overwhelms the sunlight.
Right.
And the same thing happens in our life. When we allow ourselves to follow the shepherd Jesus, he takes us to the safety and the sanctity of his Father.
Amen.
And there we remain until we step away. And ultimately, we're given the forgiveness when we come back.
Oh, yeah.
How marvelous can that be?
Absolutely. He just loves us. That's what a shepherd does. Megan, talk to us about this, that good shepherd. Hallelujah.
Well, I want to read Psalm 113 really quick before we get too close to the end of the hour here. It says, hallelujah. You who serve God, praise God. Just to speak his name is praise. Just to remember God is a blessing, now and tomorrow and always, from east to west, from dawn till dusk. Keep lifting all your praises to God.
Amen.
God is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the sky. Who can compare with God, our God, so majestically enthroned, surveying his magnificent heavens and earth. He picks us up, poor out of the dirt, rescues the wretched who've been thrown out with the trash, seats them among the honored guests, a place of honor among the brightest guests.
Amen.
He gives childless couples a family, gives them joy as parents of children. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's a good song.
And it's just, it's amazing, the shepherd's abilities. They're infinite.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I want people to realize, is that there is hope here on earth, and it's through God. That's the only hope that we have.
Right.
There's nothing else here for us. You know, we need to learn to serve our shepherd.
Yes.
And to be an obedient member of the flock.
Amen.
Instead of being the one that runs off looking for danger.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be doing that. We should be following our shepherd.
Amen. Amen. And we encourage every single one of you out there, if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, today is your day. Do it. Accept him as your personal savior. I'm going to ask Carol to repeat after me. And if you are out there and you're not sure that you are saved today, that if you died tonight, you'd be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity. If you're not sure of that, repeat this prayer. I'll say the phrases, and then Carol will repeat, and you can repeat with Carol and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
And he is the risen Lord.
And he is the risen Lord.
I believe that he forgives my sin.
I believe that he forgives my sins.
That if I confess my sin.
And if I confess my sin.
He is faithful and just to forgive me my sin.
He is faithful and just to forgive me my sins.
Oh, and Lord, I claim that right now.
And Lord, I claim that right now.
For my life.
For my life.
I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior.
Come and live in me.
Come and live in me.
I am the child of the one true King.
I am the child of the one true King.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen, amen.
If you prayed that with Carol, please get a hold of us, and we will be happy to just kind of point you in the right direction. What you do is you begin your life as a born-again child of God. You begin in the book of John. That is the best book to start reading. But you can reach me personally, pastor@bohmglobal.com. I didn't realize how late it is. We got to get out of here in just a minute. Megan and Carol, it's been a joy to have you on the show today. We've had a great time talking about David and his life and his understanding of the Lord, his shepherd. And we invite you to our services Sunday morning, 10:30, worship service Wednesday night, interactive Bible study, starting at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Get done about 8:30. It'll be a great time as we study the Word of God. Come and join us. You will feel right at home, we promise you. And if you are new to this show, go to our website, bohmglobal.com. We've got about 300 of our old shows on there. And there's a lot of teaching on these shows for the last 7+ years. So we invite you to go to our website, bohmglobal.com, and access those shows, and they will be a blessing to you and to those around you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Carol from Georgia, Megan from Indiana, part of our radio team at Beacon of Hope, saying have a great week. God bless you. If we can help you, and if you have a prayer request, write prayers at bohmglobal.com, and we'll get your request out to our prayer team. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next week, 3 o'clock, Tampa time, on this radio station. God bless you.
Arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no
Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.